engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the first book of Kings. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he entered the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord God says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. Praise the Lord, my soul. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, through all generations, alleluia. Praise the Lord, my soul. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury,
and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we hear the story today of two widows and their sacrifice, their utter trust. When they had next to nothing, literally next to nothing, they gave everything. And it's the second reading from the letter to the Hebrews that brings us to the foundation of that kind of sacrifice, that kind of trust, that kind of attitude that says, I know who is sustaining me. Not this little bit of flour and oil that I have. Not this little bit of money that I have. I know who's sustaining me. It's the Lord. And I will trust Him. He is the God who gives everything. I must be like Him. If I give everything in His name, if I give everything because I trust Him, He will not leave me abandoned. That wonderful psalm, the Lord protects strangers. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, comes to the aid of the oppressed. We think of this, of course, especially in our pro-life work. He gives food to the hungry. He sets captives free. Sets captives free. He set us all free by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it's that sacrifice showing us that God gives everything. It's Christ the Son trusting completely the Father and placing Himself in His hands that inspires the sacrifices of these widows and the sacrifices that you and I are called to make in His name. But let's look a little more closely at this passage from Hebrews 9 telling us about His sacrifice. The letter of the Hebrews is all about the sacrifice of Christ, the priesthood of Christ, and helps us understand the priesthood today, and it helps us understand, actually, the Mass and the meaning of the Mass. And it uses, by comparison, the sacrifices that were made under the Old Covenant. In the Old Testament, there were priests. In the Jewish community and the people of God, there were priests. And they offered sacrifice. Now, the sacrifices they offered were of various kinds. A lot of them were animals whose blood was offered to God. Now, the rituals that were performed before the temple was built in Jerusalem, remember, the people were journeying. The people had to journey through the desert with Moses for 40 years. And God had told them exactly how He wanted Moses to commune with Him, how He wanted the people to worship, and how He wanted the priests to offer sacrifice. And they had, as you may recall, a traveling church. The people were journeying through the desert. But they had equipment with them, which at each place where they stopped, they would set up. It was like a big tent. It was called the tabernacle. And they would set up this tabernacle. And remember, they had with them the Ark of the Covenant, that special holy wooden box that contained the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the tablets of the Ten Commandments, which defined the way of life of this new community, traveled with them in the sacred Ark of the Covenant. So when this tabernacle, this big worship tent, was set up at each spot, it had two rooms. It had the holy place, and there were various things there that assisted in the worship. But then there was the inner sanctum. Then there was the Holy of Holies, the most sacred spot where the ark was kept, and nobody could go in there except the high priest. And the high priest would go in once a year for the Day of Atonement. Now, what happened on that day? He would slaughter animals and sprinkle their blood on what was called the mercy seat. Now, what happened was that the Ark of the Covenant was set in place, and on top of it was a seat, a plate, and the glory of God in the cloud would rest on it. And on the Day of Atonement, the blood was sprinkled on it. This was the place where God resided on earth and from which he dispensed his mercy. The blood is always connected with mercy. The sacrifice is connected with mercy. This is all in the Old Testament. This is all before Christ. This mercy seat of God, he dispensed mercy to the people through the high priest who sprinkled that mercy seat with blood of animals. And as he was doing it, and he would do it repeatedly year after year, he did it for himself, his own sins, because he's a sinner, and of course he did it for the sins of the people. And then he would come out of the Holy of Holies and announce to the people that their sins were expiated. This was done in the tabernacle. This was done then once the temple was built. And it was all a foreshadowing of Christ. It was all pointing to the one, as the letter of the Hebrews says, who now did not enter the sanctuary made by hands. Christ wasn't there to go into the tabernacle, and he didn't go into the Holy of Holies either in the temple. But he was the high priest. Because now the blood that he was going to use to expiate sins was not that of the animals, it was his own. And he wasn't going to have to expiate for any sins of his own because he didn't have any. In fact, he was incapable of sin. He's God. He offered himself only and completely for us, entering not the tabernacle made by human hands, but heaven itself. It's where he came from in the first place. Heaven itself, saying to the Father, "Here are my pierced hands and feet and side. See the offering I have made, the blood I have shed, the love and mercy I have bestowed on my people, your people. Save them, reconcile them, take them to ourselves." This is what Christ did, and he only had to do it once. He doesn't die again. He cannot die again. He doesn't need to sacrifice because the sacrifice he made was infinite. You don't have to repeat a sacrifice which is infinite because it's infinite. Christ dies once, and that covers all needs, all time. What we're doing in the Mass is not having Christ die again. What we're doing here is entering into that once and for all sacrifice. It is once and for all. But the letter to the Hebrews also tells us it's eternal. So it's once and for all, but it's once and for all forever. There's an eternal aspect to it, an ongoing aspect, because Christ hasn't stopped loving us. The Father hasn't stopped receiving the love and obedience of Christ, and he hasn't stopped dispensing mercy on us. We continue to sin. But it's from that one sacrifice of Christ that we continue to draw mercy. So the sacrifice is eternal. Christ always saying to the Father, the letter of the Hebrews says, he lives forever to make intercession for us. So Christ is there at the right hand of the Father, constantly interceding for us through the one sacrifice that cleanses us of sin. That's why, you know, on Good Friday, there's reference to the Holy of Holies. When Christ did what this passage from Hebrews is telling us he did, that is, entered the sanctuary of heaven with his own blood to make the sacrifice which is eternal, Matthew, in his gospel, talking about what happened on Good Friday, refers to the veil of the temple. Now, that thick veil is what separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. The Holy of Holies that only the high priest entered once a year. It says that on Good Friday, when Christ died, the veil was ripped in two from top to bottom. In other words, access to the Holy of Holies is now thrown open to all of us, because no longer is there need to hold off that wrath of God, as was the idea behind the sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat. The blood would cover us from the wrath of God, cover our sins from His sight. No, Christ has accomplished perfect reconciliation. So now we are all admitted by His mercy to that Holy of Holies. And you know the image of divine mercy, the rays coming from Christ. Of course, when we look at a two-dimensional image, we can't tell. It looks like the rays are going down, but actually they're coming out towards us. And that image is Christ the High Priest, having offered the sacrifice of His body and blood, having had His side pierced with the lance, and blood and water came out. And you see that in those rays, the red and the white, the blood and the water. Now comes out of the Holy of Holies, like the high priest would do each year, and announces to the people that their sins have been forgiven. That's what the image of the divine mercy is. It's not just Jesus is standing there. He's coming out of the Holy of Holies announcing that the action has been accomplished, the sacrifice has been made, the blood has been sprinkled, and our sins have been expiated forever. And when we enter into that sacrifice, like we do here at the Mass, we're able to do what these two widows did. Lord, You have given everything to me, I give everything to You. You have given everything to me in love and obedience and total trust in the Father. Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. Father, let this cup pass by me, but Your will, not mine, be done. Do You not think I can call 12 legions of angels, but otherwise how would the word of Scripture be fulfilled? You see Jesus' obedience and trust in the Passion, His complete trust as He went through that. We enter into and are filled with that same spirit. And so, yeah, I only have a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and I give it to You, I'm not going to have anything left. How am I going to survive? But she trusted the word of the prophet because she trusted the Lord. The widow, two coins, giving out of her want, not out of her excess. What kind of a sacrifice is that? If I don't need it anyway, what kind of sacrifice is it if I give it? But to give what I need, to give what I need. We can only do that once we have entered in to this very same sacrifice of Christ. And then we will also do what that psalm does, says, as we do in the pro-life effort, the Lord secures justice for the oppressed, sets the captives free, the Lord protects strangers. It's because we have seen the sacrifice of His own life for us that we can sacrifice our lives to save the lowly, to set free the oppressed, because that sacrifice of Christ, that entering the Holy of Holies in heaven with His own blood and then coming out and telling us our sins are forgiven, this is what sets us free. If we have been rescued, then we must rescue. If we have been given mercy because we have called out for it, we must hear the calls of others crying out to us for mercy. First and foremost, the unborn. First and foremost, the most defenseless, the ones considered strangers, the ones who are oppressed more than anybody else. Let us set them free. Why? Because we have been set free. And it's the only way to live that out with gratitude. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for this Lord's Day. Thank You for what You have done, appearing at the end of the age to take our sins away. Let us be filled, Lord God, today with your joy, with your salvation, with your life. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.